Good morning. Our scripture text is taken from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, in verse 11 will serve as our text where we read, "Who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." Pick this up in its context, beginning in verse 9. "Now, when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." Now the eternal Son of God had entered into our world as a babe. He lived a sinless life. He died a horrible death on the cross on account of our sins. He was buried and he rose again, presenting himself alive by many infallible proofs. The Savior ascended on high, having led captivity captive, and has assumed his rightful place, seated at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places. His ascension was both in spirit and in body. It was witnessed by angels and by men, and he was taken up through the agency of a cloud specially appointed for that purpose. In like manner, Jesus shall return. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. We're going to be focusing in on the second coming this morning. And we have three points of application. The first, the Lord Jesus is coming back. Secondly, the promise of the Lord's return is an encouragement to his people. And third, the promise of the Lord's return should inspire holy fear in the hearts of the backslidden believer, the undecided, and those who have hitherto been rebellious. First, the simple fact. The Lord Jesus is coming back. I think if I preached 1,000 sermons on the second coming, that would always be my first point. If you will not believe the angels, and you will not believe the apostle, then believe the Lord himself. Of himself he said, "You will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." And again, "Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." Not only will Jesus' disciples witness his return, but all the earth will see it. "For as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." Second point this morning. The promise of the Lord's return is encouragement to his people. We await with joyful expectation, looking for the blessed hope in the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. For the scripture says, "To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation." In other words, his first advent was for the purpose of taking care of the sin problem. His second advent is for the purpose of finally accomplishing in time the salvation of both spirit and body of his people. Now, we have much to lament about in this fallen world. There seems to be no limit to the evil in this world. It is all around us. When I was a kid, I had a fishbowl, and I had a Siamese fighting fish. And I could only have one Siamese fighting fish, because when they're alone, or I could even put, you know, some goldfish or whatever in the little bowl, and they wouldn't bother one another. But if I were to get another Siamese fighting fish, there had to be a barrier in the bowl. Otherwise, they would devour one another. Now, suppose we were to place, let's take for the sake of argument, 5 billion Siamese fighting fish and put them in the same pond. We'd put them in the Blackstone River, but then they wouldn't live very long. So let's put them in a nice clear pond up in Poland Springs, Maine, right? What will happen then? Or Cold Spring Park. What would happen to them then? The 5 billion Siamese fighting fish would endlessly devour one another. So is it any wonder that if God puts 5 billion sinners in the same pond, on the same planet, we devour one another as well? Too often it seems that the strong, that the shrewd, that the rich or the downright nasty have success at the expense of godly people. But answer me this. What success did the world have over our Lord? Yes, they bruised his heel, but Christ Jesus gained the victory over sin once and for all through Calvary and through his resurrection. Therefore, the Apostle John is able to say with confidence, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. What is the venerable apostle looking forward to but the second coming of our Lord? The Lord is coming back, to use an expression in today's vernacular, to seal the deal. To seal the victory in time that he has already achieved. So let the saints cry out with confident faith, "Come." For he who testifies to these things says, "Surely I am coming quickly." A third and final point this morning is this. The promise of the Lord's return should inspire holy fear in the hearts of the backslidden believer, the undecided, and those who have hitherto been rebellious. For God is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness he shall judge the world. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? If God were to say one thing and he were to do another, Would you not say that he is unjust? Well, then God has said that those who believe in faith in the sufficiency of his Son Jesus' work shall be found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blameless. Imagine that. We do all kinds of things on this earth and this sinful flesh for which we are to be blamed. As if that's not enough, people blame us for things we don't even do. But God sees us as blameless, as already there. Shall not God keep his word? Now the Lord has also said, "For whoever is ashamed of me in my words, in this adulterous and sinful generation," now he's speaking of the generation when the Lord was ministering on the earth, but I don't think it's a stretch to say not much has changed. "Of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Friend, you've had time enough. You've heard the gospel enough. And if you've not heard the gospel enough times, I'd be pleased to stand in line with the rest of the saints in this body to preach it some more to you privately, that we may both receive the blessing. You've been warned enough to turn from your ways and to embrace God's way. Choose wisely, for in the end, it is written, "So shall your judgment be. You yourself have decided it." Pray that if the Lord were to come back today for you, that you'd be ready. Not found playing games, doing something to no profit for the kingdom of God, or trifling with the word of grace which has been faithfully committed to you. I pray that the believers have been encouraged by the reminder of Jesus' second coming this morning. And that any others in my hearing, be you here listening by some other venue, that you are awakened through God's power from your spiritual reverie. Let us now pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for making a way to heaven for us, for sending your Son down the first time. We thank you that all of his work was accomplished, just as you have said. And we apprehend by faith that it has been perfectly effective to secure a place in heaven for all who come to you believing upon the name of your Son Jesus. We look forward to your return. We look forward to an eternity spent with you in the heavenlies, in Christ, and in being in Christ, so close to you, God. that it's written that we too are seen as positionally seated at your right hand. We pray that we take these things seriously. Today, in the days to come and in all of our lives, that we might be living in earnest expectation, awaiting your return. We thank you for the promise. God, if there be any who dread your return, that such a one might make provision in the heart by accepting your grace, by believing in faith that you came, lived a life without sin, died, and rose again. Preparing a place for those whom you've called, set apart for your name, and ready to return again, ready to judge the living and the dead. We thank you for your love, your grace, your justice, the fact that you're unchangeable in your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.